Welcome back to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin. It's been a while. I know, Afshin, you've been holding the fort for a few weeks.
Where have you been, actually, Millie? My attempts at forecasting the news for the week ahead, they didn't do too well. So it's glad you're back.
I think you did very well, Afshin, but I can't possibly tell you where I went. In fact, I would have thought in your forecasting, you would have told people where I was going to be in the week ahead, but clearly...
I thought it was nuclear secrets in Dimona. As far as I understood it, you'd fake that you were a nuclear scientist, you were working on the Israeli nuclear weapons program, no?
That could be true, but I couldn't possibly reveal the secrets. But the important thing is... we're back now, and as you'll already know, we'll be talking about through some worldly events and anniversaries coming up in the week that we think are worthy of discussion. Please subscribe, as Afshin said, and do give your comments on the events we discuss. We like to hear your opinions, don't we, Afshin? And see what you have to say on all of these things. So let's begin.
Some opinions, actually, recently in this in the YouTube comments and on X, actually.
Anyway. Yeah. People are clearly enjoying it, hopefully.
You're obviously enjoying the comments a lot.
We do.
Anyway, Monday the 27th.
Yes.
May.
Now, what should we start with? I mean, I, Afshin, first have the EU Foreign Affairs Council is meeting with foreign ministers from Middle Eastern nations, strangely perhaps, with Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, the UAE and Qatar in Brussels, and also, quite randomly, the Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba will be tagging along via video link. I don't know what he's going to do with all of this. I think they're going to be talking about Russia and Ukraine. They'll be talking about the Middle East, I assume, on Gaza. But it's a bit odd, isn't it? Because you've got these Middle Eastern countries, most of whom are quite friendly towards Russia. They generally support Gaza against Israel. So I don't know, is this kind of a EU lobbying situation? I mean, why is EU having this meeting with these countries?
Well, of course, I mean, it comes after the horrific attack on Rafah, where a Holocaust is what the word being used across the Arab world about what Britain, the United States and European Union nations have armed for the attack on Rafah. Jake Sullivan only the other day, the National Security Advisor in Washington, had said, we're going to wait and see how many, presumably children, they were going to slaughter, burn alive, and then work out what to do with the American weaponry being supplied to Israel. And now it's happened, and the world can see. And the appalling reporting on propaganda media like the BBC saying lives were lost and there was some kind of incident in Rafah. We saw the pictures. People can see the pictures in the Arab world. It's everywhere. And as you say, the idea that the EU Foreign Affairs Council is hosting, say, the UAE president. Now, the UAE president, as we'll get on to, is on his way to China. And right. The lies being told in propaganda media following the U.S. playbook talking points that somehow Saudi Arabia is going to normalize relations with Israel is utterly absurd. And, of course, this all occurs in the context of the fact that millions were on the streets of Iran to commemorate the death of the president of Iran, President Fayyuzi, and the foreign minister in a very suspicious helicopter accident. Only their helicopter was hit, or only their helicopter came down. It's this kind of context. I mean, Ukraine, we're getting very strange remarks from Zelensky in the past 24 hours, as many people see the defeat of Ukraine coming in just a matter of weeks, some analysts are saying.
Yeah, I mean, it really seems not much has improved since we were last talking together, Afshin. I hoped there would be some progress, but there hasn't. And then in addition to that, also in Brussels on Monday, there's going to be an annual conference on Syria, which is the eighth of its kind. Now, in the last year's one, funnily enough, they pledged $3.8 billion to Syria. I think since 2011, they've pledged $30 billion. That's the EU. Confusing.
They're ruining Syria, though. Pledged the money who? How?
Well, they pledged the money to Syria, but confusingly, EU imposes quite heavy sanctions on Syria, as does the US and Canada, Australia, the UK, many countries. So I don't really know what this does. You would kind of think maybe...
recycling money through the humanitarian industrial complex, arguably. Britain bombed Syria with the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Israel did with British and American bombs. And the fact that Saudi Arabia and all these countries are down the road in Brussels on the same day on the Monday.
That's right.
And Syria has good relations now with Saudi Arabia, obviously with Iran, with the UAE. So, and the United States is occupying a third of the country. I mean, hopefully these Arab countries will be asking the Americans and Joseph Borrell, the big American proxy vassal head, the EU foreign affairs chief, why are the United States illegally occupying and stealing the energy of Syria while Syria desperately needs aid or at least reconstruction, which China are desperately trying to pull through in Syria, despite the bombs and the US, UK, EU-backed ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Syria.
That's right. And obviously, they had the big earthquake last year that, if you remember, Syria suffered from, along with Turkey. And a lot of focus was on helping Turkey. And obviously, there was the problems with sanctions on Syria and getting the help there. But it's really an odd day and quite ironic. And I'll say Joseph Borrell is actually going to be at both of these meetings. He's going to be chairing the first one, and he's going to be speaking, I believe, in the one on Syria. So it's very strange and quite nonsensical, perhaps.
I'm not sure how the Arab world are going to react after the same, after the pictures of burning babies in the past 24 hours, that they are sitting around tables with European policy chiefs who are supplying the weapons to burn the children in Gaza. Emmanuel Macron, though, makes a state visit to Germany while that's all happening.
Yeah.
Two leaders of economies in dire trouble because of their support for the proxy war on Russia through Ukraine.
That's right. I was going to go on to that, actually. It's going to be Macron's second day on Monday, and he's not actually going to be meeting Olaf Scholz, the German Chancellor, until Tuesday on his final visit. On Monday, Macron's actually going to be with the German President, Frank-Walter Steinmeier. And he'll be giving him a tour around the Holocaust Memorial in Berlin. Perhaps some agenda behind that? I don't know.
While France is backing people with the Nazi SS symbol in Ukraine, we should remember that just the other day in the British Parliament, Boris Johnson, who so European leaders say, despite his denials, was responsible for destroying the peace deal in the early stages of the post-2022 segment of the conflict between NATO and Russia through Ukraine, Nazi SS symbols. And Macron's going to be saying, oh, it was terrible, the Holocaust was terrible, while arming the Holocaust in Gaza and supporting those with the emblem of the SS. Shouldn't Macron be in New Caledonia anyway? Or was he in New Caledonia over the weekend? This is one of the French colonies where the French have been trying to threaten the New Caledonian people. There's a colony in the Pacific with the ending of their internet because the people of New Caledonia say that French colonialists shouldn't have more rights than people were born in New Caledonia. You can tell us where it is, can't you, New Caledonia, on a map? Because I can't.
Maybe someone in the comments can, because I don't know that I can either.
I mean, all these territories are still there, the French colonies, while the ones in the Sahel, like Burkina Faso, are being taken back into some sort of sovereignty by the people of these countries, the Caribbean, I think we'll get onto that, Guadeloupe and all these territories. Macron presides over this French empire that continues to this day, where the people of these colonies live in squalor.
Well, we'll talk about, we'll come on to later in the weekend, Madagascar, a former nation of France that only recently became independent in recent decades, which will go on to one of the poorest countries in the world, of course. But on Monday as well, so it was quite a busy one. On Monday, a former Soviet
Mondays member are always more busy for this forecast news, which people should subscribe to. But I mean, there is information for the rest of the week on all the days, but Monday is always longer, isn't it?
I think it's the start of the week, just everything's going on. But a Soviet member, Georgia, on Monday is holding a committee session on this controversial foreign agents bill. I don't know how much you know about this. It's expected to be vetoed on Tuesday. But just to explain what it is, if you're not familiar, if you're watching, it's basically would require NGOs and media outlets with more than 20% of their funding coming from outside of Georgia to register themselves as organizations pursuing the interests of a foreign power. And now this has sparked quite a lot of protests in the country. It's been hailed.
Has it really, though?
Well, I thought you would say something, Afshin, about...
I don't know this foreign agents bill in the first place. What if Britain just bans television stations if they have huge foreign ownership? So Fox News, owned by Rupert Murdoch, an American citizen after he gave up Australian and British citizenship, Britain just banned it. They didn't say Fox News is... Well, of course, Fox News is saying they just came out of the market, but so they say the British censorship agency Ofcom were going to find them, and then Fox wasn't happy with it, so Fox withdrew. CGTN, Chinese state TV, banned. RT, banned.
It's not the fact of the funding to be the reason that they did that. I'll just add that wasn't the problem.
They're going to have a law which says just 20% seems pretty normal. And who is this leader of Georgia? So the president of Georgia, who's French, I understand. She's not Georgian. She's a French citizen. She worked for NATO. So I don't know what
Salome Zora bitchfully. Can't really. If I'm probably botching that pronunciation.
That's a bit harsh, really. She's a NATO proxy. It's a bit harsh. And she's vetoing a democratically voted parliamentary bill. They're trying it on. NATO are trying it on, trying to turn Georgia into the next Ukraine. I don't think Georgia's going to fall for it.
Well, although the caveat to this bill, I think there's talk about them just not going ahead. It has gone through Parliament, but Blinken of the US basically threatened visa restrictions on Georgians over this. And so I think Georgia has said, well, they may actually just drop the bill in return for a trade deal with the US, although I don't really see what that's got to do with anything or how that would work at all. But it remains.
I think if Georgia had any self-respect, it would break diplomatic relations off with the United States over the threats. Then again, if I may, over in the Far East, South Korea, Japan, and China trilateral summit, Yoon Suk Yeol hosts with the Chinese Premier Li Qiang. I wonder whether some nations in the Pacific are starting to learn what Georgia should be learning by now, that it's the end of the US empire. It's time to get on the right side.
Yeah, and that's an interesting one, that this summit, obviously, these countries have recently resumed diplomatic talks, and they're talking of resuming trade talks, aren't they, South Korea and China, over sort of recent tensions. So it's looking good in that region of the world.
How do the Chinese, how do they trust, Chinese Premier Li Qiang, how do they trust that these leaders of South Korea, which is occupied by US troops, is not going to just bug all the conversations. So any bilateral talks and the dinner itself is just going to be sent back to Antony Blinken and the military contractors of the Biden administration.
Do you have any proof of this?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure Jens Stoltenberg, addressing the NATO Parliamentary Assembly in Bulgaria, will be bugged. Bulgarian Prime Minister Dmytro Glavchev, I mean, is just another vassal proxy leader? What's he doing with Stoltenberg? Trying to make Bulgaria a target of BRICS? Not sure.
Okay, well, so we know you're going to be bugging them then, is basically what you've just revealed.
I think we will be on Forecast News altogether. A national memorial parade at 2 in the afternoon on Monday the 27th in Washington, D.C., honoring those who sacrificed American lives, North American lives, USA lives, that have been sacrificed. Sacrificed for what? What was the Vietnam, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria, Iraq, the wars in Central America? What were they all for? Why did all these Americans die? For what? I don't think people will be asking that question on US so-called mainstream media in the United States on Memorial Day, Monday the 27th.
Well, perhaps in the comments you can answer what was it all for? But on that note, we better move on to Tuesday.
One thing for Monday. I know it's a long Monday.
We're 15 minutes in already.
Princeton University has this actor, Sam Waterston, famous for being in Law and Order, a TV series I haven't really watched. They recently did an episode on Gaza, which is the main way that Americans will probably get their news, not through news politics. People aren't interested in it. They're too tired at the end of the day. And apparently the Jerusalem Post and Zionist Press said it was sort of both ways and made out Hamas basically were evil, Israel, they weren't that good, that kind of thing. And he's addressing Princeton University, so expect demonstrations at Princeton, and it'll be interesting to see what that actor, Sam Waterston, says. And I should also say that in 2011, May the 27th, it was the day that Gil Scott-Heron died. He wrote the song, "The Revolution Won't Be Televised." And I think in 1,000 years, people will remember that. And I was talking about those French colonies, Guadeloupe, Saint Martin, now famous Saint Barts for celebrity holidays. They're French colonies, and it's Slavery Abolition Day there. I think all those French colonies, while Mackerel is spending his time at the Holocaust Museum on Monday, they'll be thinking about whether to throw off the yoke of colonialism in the Caribbean.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. And on that note, let's move on to Tuesday. Now, you mentioned Jens Stoltenberg earlier there. And on Tuesday, going back to the EU, it's defense ministers are going to be meeting NATO's Jens Stoltenberg. And of course, the Ukrainian defense minister again joining. I think Ukraine, some representative from Ukraine seems to join every
time.
Are they
in NATO? Why are they always popping up? They're not in NATO. What is Ukraine's defense minister, Umerov, doing hanging around all the time around NATO?
Oh, this is the question. But I think this is just going to be what they're calling an informal discussion on Ukraine on Tuesday. Although, I don't know if you saw this, it was reported that Jens Stoltenberg had suggested that Ukraine use NATO-supplied weapons to directly target Russian territory and go into
Which
Russia.
Britain has already allowed. Britain says, absolutely, you can attack where you want in Russia with our Storm Shadow missiles, mass murder Russian civilians for all we care. That seems to be the British position, which is different to the United States position.
Yeah, well, I think it's quite a controversial one because it's Prime Minister of Italy, Giorgia Meloni, who she did criticise Jens Stoltenberg over the weekend on this. And whether that's something that's going to be brought up at this meeting on Tuesday, I don't know, but I would imagine it will be.
Russia's made it clear, hasn't it, that Russia seems to have made it clear that Britain is already a target because British Storm Shadow missiles, which they program in situ in Ukraine with British troops on the ground in Ukraine to kill Russians, makes Britain, London, a target already with hypersonic conventional missile or a nuclear missile. That seems to be the Russian position. The American missiles are geo-fenced so that even if a Ukrainian or the U.S. troops on the ground, which they deny, who help targeting in Ukraine, try and attack Moscow or Belgorod with an American missile, the missile won't fire. It'll come back because of some sort of limit geographically on GPS. Same system we use for Uber, I suppose, taxis.
Well, in fairness, I think these threats have kind of been bandied about really over the last couple of years, haven't they?
Britain has said in the past few days that all people in Britain have to buy 3 days' worth of food.
That's right. Yeah, water and canned food. Is it? Sounds very World War II, I think.
Given the number of people that are starving in Britain who can't afford, who live paycheck to paycheck, I don't think they can afford 3 days forward planned food, given the homelessness is the worst in the OECD, according to a recent poll. But yeah, I think you were mentioning there obliquely, weren't you, the British outgoing prime minister. He's declared an election on US Independence Day in Britain as if to reinforce the fact Britain is a vassal state of the United States, wants to introduce compulsory national service, which I think, by the way, I know we're on Tuesday, it's quite a good idea. This is one of Rishi Sunak's good ideas, because training in a country so disfigured by inequality, training teenagers to use machine guns would be at the age of 18, the disenfranchised teenagers of Britain, teaching them how to use machine guns is a good idea, don't you think?
Okay. Well, just to caveat that, I think when he says military service, it's unclear exactly what that would entail. And he also said either that or you could volunteer monthly to join either the fire service or the police service or some other kind of emergency service.
And then he said, you don't go to jail if you evade the national service.
Yes.
Well, so what are they going to do? Fine you?
I think it's probably not a very well thought out plan, to be honest with you, at this stage. I think there is.
I was really excited. The idea of millions of 18-year-olds in Britain running around with machine guns being trained by the British Army while they hate their government and despise their government for supporting Nazis in Ukraine, let alone genocide in the Middle East, sounds like an excellent.
I'm glad that idea.
I know we're on Tuesday. In London, I should say, since we're talking about London, I noticed at the MI6 Raytheon General Dynamics funded RUSI cutout in London, the UK's candidate to become Interpol Secretary General is speaking. A guy called Stephen Kavanagh. Interpol is what? This kind of international police force.
Yeah, that's a weird one. But what I would say is the most important thing, arguably on Tuesday, that I thought you were going to mention, is that Tuesday is the day officially that Spain, Ireland, and Norway recognize Palestine as a state. Seemingly random. It doesn't matter.
They're supporting Nazis in Ukraine, and they're not going to get. They're attacking Israel all the time. I mean, some people say Israel, which is full of Jews, some of them descended from the Holocaust, is a kind of mentally ill country. You don't blame the mentally ill for murder, do you? You blame the people that enable the mentally ill to kill people. So what's the point of Spain, Ireland, and all these countries now recognizing Palestine, but continuing to recognize Britain and the United States, which are supplying the weapons to commit the genocide?
So you're not happy about this then? Okay.
Well, World Hunger Day it is. You know, you interrupted me about Interpol. How can Britain ever run Interpol if Britain is guilty of enabling genocide and certainly what's happening in Rafah, which the International Court, so-called, said the other day, oh, stop, there shouldn't be this mass murder in Rafah, but we'll give you a month to give us the information about it. The status of humanitarian law, of international jurisprudence, of countries recognizing others, it's all a bit of a nonsense while we see the likes of what one saw in the 1930s and 40s in Germany raising genocide. Well, I mean, we never used to use the word genocide like this so freely. It's become a normal word.
Yeah, almost feels like it's banded about too freely.
I thought it's World Hunger Day. That's a much bigger point. And on World Hunger Day on Tuesday, May 28th, I don't think anyone will be talking about figures that show 12 million American children are hungry. 10% of employed workers, that's 14.5 million workers, are hungry. And 5.5 million Americans 60 or older are hungry, according to US data. I don't think people will be talking about that, will they? Britain, while it gives all the money to Zelensky, 50% of children from black and minority ethnic groups in Britain are hungry, compared to 24% of white children. Only a quarter of white children hungry, going to sleep hungry at night. 4.3, this is from UK Child Poverty Action Group figures. Nine children in an average classroom of 30 in Britain are living in poverty and hungry in Britain, while it's giving billions away to Zelensky and the Nazis, while it's spending money on ships to attack China. It's not a good World Hunger Day.
No, it's not. And I mean, they would say that it's a very complicated thing, world hunger. But we do know, I think around 10% of the world population.
Some people have lots of food, and some people don't. Millie, it's not that complicated. Some people have too much food, and some people have too little.
I'm just saying what they would probably say. I mean, you're right, but this is what they would argue. But 10%.
That's actually a song by Tupac Shakur. Did you see that? Tuesday, May 28th, Dwayne Keffi DeDavis charged with the murder of the great great rap star, the great musician Tupac Shakur, who was killed. whose mother or stepmother or aunt is in Cuba. And his father always said it was the American government that was somehow responsible for his son's murder. Tupac Shakur, a fighter for the oppressed in the United States and Hungary.
Did you like his music?
I don't think they play it really on so-called mainstream media, do they? Is it even on Spotify?
I'm a Tupac fan.
You are?
A little bit. A couple of his tracks, I don't mind.
Well, it's sad that he died, didn't he?
I know. Could have brought up more.
Or was killed by the American government. Who knows?
Okay. We better move on to Wednesday.
Oh, really? Tuesday's finished, is it?
Tuesday,
the UAE president in South Korea. You could mention that for Wednesday, of course.
True, he's in South Korea.
So that's Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed of the country where we're speaking to forecast news viewers from, at the invitation of South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol. I wonder what the UAE president and the South Korean president will be talking about, given there are so many troops in South Korea and far fewer in the UAE. And I should also add that Maya Angelou in 2014 died on May the 28th, the great African-American writer who famously said she didn't really understand why they were picking fights with communists, the United States government, because it was no communist that lynched her father and raped her mother. Wednesday 29th, then, go for it.
Okay. Well, Wednesday's quite an election-heavy day, isn't it? I mean, this week is in general, but I'll just start with on Wednesday, the fact that we may hear a decision on the Trump case that everyone's going on about. The jury will make a decision on whether he's guilty in this hush money trial. But it's not likely that he would receive any jail time if he is found guilty, right? As a first-time offender, I think he would be sentenced up to about 136 years in jail if he's found guilty on all of these crimes. But apparently, because he's a first-time offender, he wouldn't get anything. So kind of makes the whole thing a bit pointless anyway, arguably. I'm sure it will only make
Why
it
isn't
more
he being
popular.
Done for assassinating Qasem Soleimani, the Iranian general in Syria and Iraq who was fighting al-Qaeda and ISIS Daesh? Why isn't Trump being put in jail for helping al-Qaeda and ISIS Daesh? That's what Trump did. He backed ISIS Daesh. That should be his prison sentence, surely.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, yeah.
But that will see what happens.
Trump, of course, on the record for saying he'd give more for the genocide in Israel. He's funded by huge Zionist donors, just like Joe Biden is. Joe Biden, the senator that received more Zionist money than any other senator.
So you'd like to see him in jail regardless, is what you're saying then?
I'm just saying there should be a trial at least, and we should hear the arguments. Joe Biden on Wednesday 29th visiting Philadelphia, when the Philadelphia Corridor is an area in Gaza near Rafah where important aid needs to get through. This stupid pier built out of the skulls and bones of children killed by British, American and EU weaponry. Not sure how much aid's getting through on that one. But so while the Philadelphia Corridor in Gaza is blocked, Joe Biden visits Philadelphia.
It means, though, he's clearly not going to support his son, Hunter Biden, whose hearing starts over his tax charges on Wednesday, as Trump is potentially getting convicted of
Hunter
a crime.
Hunter Biden, the Ukrainian executive, energy executive. That's right.
I'm calling him now, sure.
Burisma, Hunter Biden. Oh, yeah. So it's just felony tax offences. Nothing to do with relations to some in Ukraine, oligarch power in Ukraine. Well, it won't be the death penalty. Amnesty International, a suspect NGO, which helped one of the Iraq wars, releases its report on death penalties and executions, and presumably all the mainstream media will be talking about China, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, much more than the United States, and the numbers killed by Israel. Amnesty International doesn't care about the de facto death penalty that is being meted out to children, women, tens of thousands of them in Palestine. Why doesn't Amnesty International care about Israeli justice? Anyway, I'm sure you're going to go to Madagascar now. I can predict it.
Well, I'm surprised you're talking about Amnesty International at all when previously on this show you've said completely they're nothing, they're nobody.
No, I do that. I think this is worthy of board. Yeah, I wouldn't trust it myself. You know, Amnesty International. They did the Incubator Kuwait story, if people want to look it up. But I know you're interested in Madagascar, so you're definitely going to get into that.
Well, we have got two elections actually on Wednesday. Obviously, Madagascar, one of the poorest countries in Africa, as we've said.
Famous for vanilla, though. Vanilla ice cream. Vanilla comes from Madagascar, doesn't it?
Well, a lot of resources come from Madagascar, but they're going to be holding their parliamentary elections. It's considered to be the fourth most vulnerable country to climate change. Obviously, over 80% are in poverty. Just a tricky one.
It's very important, isn't it, Madagascar, strategically in the Indian Ocean? And I did see that after Putin finally went to protect the people of eastern Ukraine in Donetsk, after years of their being bombed by NATO weaponry, the Madagascan foreign minister, Richard Randriamandaratu, was sacked by presidential decree after he voted in favor of a US-UK-backed UN General Assembly resolution condemning Russia. He did the wrong thing, and Madagascar had to go, what? Why are you voting to attack Russia? I think Madagascar knows it has to be play a very careful game, but historically, yeah, it's just been a poodle of the IMF World Bank, isn't it? What was the other election?
I would have thought you would have been more interested, actually, in the South African general election, on Wednesday. Now, the late Nelson Mandela, who I know we've talked about a few times, his party, the African National Congress, which has been the governing party for 30 years, is looking like it may not even hit 50% in the vote this election. So it's looking like it's going to be a coalition.
Who normally gets 50% in a election?
Well, normally the ANC has done for at least the last 30 years.
I think there'll be a lot against South Africa in so-called propaganda mainstream media in NATO countries, because South Africa has brought the case against their love of their lives, Israel, committing genocide in Gaza. So you'll hear on CNN, Comcast, Sky News, the BBC propaganda, state propaganda, these kinds of issues, you'll go, oh, South Africa, the ANC not doing so well, in a deliberate attempt to undermine South Africa because they're so upset with South Africa for perhaps paving the way for Britain, European Union nations and the United States to be judged co-conspirators in genocide. And their leaders, technically, wanted under arrest warrant.
I think much of the international community have applauded South Africa with what they've done as regards Israel, but doesn't necessarily translate to their domestic policies. I mean,
no, but that's why you'll only see this, you know, ANC only doing less than 50% in the Global South media. People just going, okay, it continues. Not that, of course, there aren't correct and you know, reasonable grounds to attack the ANC for its disastrous economic record. Meta, Facebook, they hold their annual stockholder meeting and Sheryl Sandberg steps down. The reason people have censorship on their timelines on Facebook, how some have been banned from WhatsApp. They own WhatsApp? I think they do own WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
Is this woman, Sheryl Sandberg, will go down in history as trying to hide genocide, hide appalling things that are done in the name of Americans. She's chief operating officer of Meta. I wonder whether she'll ever be held accountable for what she did to the US First Amendment.
Well, maybe, but an obscure one Wednesday afternoon that you haven't mentioned, Vanuatu. Have you heard of this country?
Vanuatu. Didn't we do a show with the president of Vanuatu? Was that another one? Was that Palau?
Right. Palau, yeah. Oh, you mean for going underground you're talking about? Not for
I mean, this is a referendum on whether the constitution should be amended.
That's right. It's a referendum. Now, just to, some people might not have heard of this country. It's so east of, was it east of Australia, north of New Zealand, something like that. Only a population about 300,000. A shout out to you if you're from there, because as Afshin says, you will be going to vote in your first referendum since
Especially
independence.
shout out if you're against the pact with Australia.
Ah, that as well.
That's catalyzed the whole thing, isn't it?
I don't know so much that, but I know it's to do with the constitution changing because there's been a lot of no confidence votes in Vanuatu, and so this referendum, I understand, would basically say that Parliament would have to retain their political party affiliations throughout their terms. So, you know, in a lot of countries, like we see it in the UK, you could be a Labour MP, for example, and then you would change halfway through a term to become a Conservative or an Independent or whatever. So this would stop you doing that, and then in turn would hopefully bring political stability and stop no confidence votes. So that's what they're doing. I don't know
I mean,
whether
what?
it's a good or a bad thing. You can tell
There's
us
a
what you
French
want.
colony and are there American troops on Vanuatu?
Well, it's a former UK and French colony. They became independent
Oh.
in 1980, but I think there are a lot of English-speaking people, French-speaking people, and Bismali-speaking people, something like that. So whether there's still some on the ground, I don't know.
USAID, run by Samantha Power, alleged war criminal, very involved with things in Vanuatu. Kind of battle there over whether China can move in to enable some kind of sovereignty for Vanuatu after years of being used as a US proxy, some could say. ExxonMobil won't be that interested at their annual meeting of shareholders in exploiting energy reserves there. Presumably, it's the strategic Vanuatu positioning that is more important. Are you going to go on to Paul Pelosi? The husband of Nancy Pelosi, alleged war criminal, House Speaker of the United States. What opening
Go on.
argument in the trial of a man convicted for breaking into the San Francisco home of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and targeting her husband? Very strange case. He let the guy in. We don't really know what that case was about. Lots of rumors that Nancy Pelosi's husband is not what
Who
he's
he says he is.
supposed to be. That's what they say. In 1964, on the 29th of May, the Arab League met in East Jerusalem to discuss the Palestinian question leading to the formation of the PLO. Where is the Arab League today? That's what a lot of Arab people from the Atlantic to the Pacific will be asking on Wednesday, the 29th of May.
Shall we move on to Thursday?
Okay.
We're moving on. Well, on Thursday until Friday, there's a AI for Global Good summit in Geneva. Now, this is a UN-headed event. There's going to be Antonio Guterres, even the British royal family, Afshin, Prince Andrew's daughter, Prince Beatrice, will be on a panel there. I don't know what
They
she's
need
reading.
artificial intelligence after years of inbreeding. That's what some people very
Oh, okay,
unkindly have said
that
that
must
way.
be why then. So this is a summit which is meant to promote AI to advance health, climate, gender, all this kind of stuff. Quite a contentious subject for many, though, isn't it,
To
Apple? A lot of people are
advance
frightened.
gender, what? They're going to be a future AI gender.
Clearly, I don't even know what that means. Inclusive prosperity, sustainable infrastructure, yada yada yada. As I say,
AI for global
tragedy.
good.
AI for Global Good Summit.
But
So
wait a
I.
minute, Sam Altman is speaking.
Sam Altman, yeah, of OpenAI, he'll be there. So this
That's the
idea
guy
that
Elon Musk. That's the guy Elon Musk says is, well, maybe just stops short of saying is evil because they went on the project as a joint project to make it not for profit. And Sam Altman said, no, we're going to have AI and roll it out. And Elon Musk has a lot to say. And how can there be global good ever coming from Sam Altman, let alone Antonio Guterres, who has time to deliver a video message, but no time to visit Rafah? Genocide on his watch? What sort of a UN Secretary General is this man?
Well, apparently AI is going to solve all world problems, it seems, and it's definitely not going to be a thing just for the rich and for the,
You see, actually, Millie, because we rely on information sources in what they call public sources of information. What do they? There's a word they use, open source. There was a deal signed in the past few days between Rupert Murdoch's News Corp and OpenAI. Was it? So now all the information plugged into the ChatGPT and AI will be propaganda media from CNN and state propaganda like the BBC, and that's going to be plugged into AI so that when kids ask questions of AI, they're going to give them completely the. They're going to say, "Oh yeah, before you ask us about genocide, do you condemn Hamas?" Or they're going to say, "The war in Ukraine started on the in February of 2022," or "The war in Gaza started on October the 8th." They're going to just talk nonsense.
Sounds about right, yeah. But hey, it's going to solve all the problems apparently. So there we go. But I tell you, someone who does promote the advancement of AI as well is Kamala Harris, the US Vice President. She's going to be delivering a commencement address to the US Air Force Academy on Thursday. I believe Joe Biden, though, is going to be there along with his Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin at the Falcon Stadium in Colorado. That's what they're going to be doing, and what they seem to be a very important thing to do on this Thursday.
I mean, those pictures are beamed out across the Arab world of Kamala Harris at a U.S. Air Force Academy where they train people involved in that military-industrial complex that we can see on our phones from the air being bombing children with U.S. technology. These are F-16s. These are U.S. missiles. That's what's causing the genocide and what's killing people. So Kamala Harris at the U.S. Air Force Academy is not going to be seen as a great election visit as regards the Arab world. I should also say that it's being May the 30th. Big report in the UAE press. UAE president to visit China on the
That's right.
30th of May. I don't think NATO countries are going to like Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan in China, are they? I mean,
Well, it doesn't really matter,
that's
does
not
it? I
something
mean,
they like, really, is it? But obviously, part of BRICS, the shoring up of the New World Order, the UAE and China, together with Russia, as it's been associated, Brazil, India, its partners, this is the new world. It won't get much press, perhaps, in the US and NATO countries because they'd be terrified of countries in the GCC becoming such good friends with the People's Republic.
right. But it's a great week for China, obviously, and strengthening its ties with the global south in particular. So you're right, for a lot of the mainstream media in the Western world at least, it's not going to look good. But for some on the other side, it'll be a very good thing. I don't know what China's going to make though of Thursday's verdict in the pro-democracy Hong Kong activists who we spoke about this before, didn't we? Who were charged with subversion. I believe 16 pleaded not guilty to this. 31 did plead guilty. If found guilty, they'll
Oh, they're
appeal.
associated with U.S. NGOs, these
Yeah, it was
people.
a very complicated thing, wasn't it? But I think they're all going to receive prison sentences. I think the ones who pleaded guilty, they receive between 4 to 7 years. I think these are expected to receive 7 to 12 years if they are found guilty. So we'll
Why
keep
don't they
an eye out
just,
on that.
they should agree prisoner swaps, really, with those who the United States and Britain say are Chinese spies in British prisons. And the United States, given these Hong Kong activists are supposedly part of these NGOs that are used by humanitarian NGOs, are used by NATO countries to subvert and destroy other countries. In 1943, on May the 31st, Joseph Mengele became the chief medical officer of Auschwitz concentration camp, Auschwitz liberated by Russia. It's amazing that they won't talk about the Holocaust as much in NATO propaganda media because the whole way NATO works is to support those who carry the emblems of the officers in Auschwitz concentration camp today.
Okay. Well, Friday, if you're ready to move on, we're about 45 minutes in now. Friday, it's kind of like a circle back to Monday. EU sanctions on Syria are due to expire, though obviously they're going to be renewed and extended as
Why?
always. We don't
Why are
know.
they?
Well, this is the whole thing, isn't it? It's
You just said this, obviously they're gonna why?
well,
Why do they want to hurt Syrian babies?
they. Well, I think that they first did this. The sanctions were put in place in 2013. They were expired last year, and they are extended, and they're expected to be extended again. But then it kind of negates this Monday annual conference on Syria that they've got, where they pledge billions of dollars to Syria. If they just stopped the sanctions, they probably wouldn't have to pledge billions of dollars to do whatever they're doing. It doesn't quite make sense, does it? That's
Millie,
just
maybe you need to write a
opinion.
letter to someone about that, just explaining that. You know,
Just
it's pretty
like
simple.
it
I
might
mean,
save you a bit of
EU,
money.
and it's not as if in, I mean, there were sanctions on Madagascar, which we mentioned for the elections the previous days, because a third of the world is sanctioned by the United States and these European countries. There won't be any debate in European neo-fascist media, some might argue, about why they want to sanction Syria. What? Because Syria's key in the fight against Al-Qaeda and ISIS-Daesh, which has been supported by NATO. Is that the reason? What are they trying to achieve by hurting babies in Syria? What are they trying to do? Are they trying to overthrow Assad, who has been the stalwart fight? He's been the head of the fight against ISIS in the Middle East. They
Yeah.
just won't tell us, will they?
No, but it definitely is a quite nonsensical one when we look at it like this. But on Friday as well, I think this is quite interesting. There's a press conference in Ukraine with the UN Rapporteur on extrajudicial executions, Dr. Maurice Tidball-Binns is his name. And he basically went to Ukraine a couple of weeks ago, and he's been investigating. And his role was to examine unlawful deaths, mainly those that have happened as a result of the conflict with Russia. And that he's basically looking into extrajudicial executions, deaths in custody, and gender-based killings. And he's also looking at how the rights of victims are addressed. And he said of his visit, "I will be adopting a victim-centered approach, giving particular attention to the rights of victims and their families to truth, justice, and reparation." I mean, what do you make of this? It sounds.
What was he going to do? A doctor perpetrator-centered investigation?
Well, apparently the Ukrainian government had brought him over to Ukraine
There's
to
no Ukrainian
investigate.
government. The government lost its mandate on the 20th.
All right,
Zelensky's
de facto government then.
martial law dictator, the dictatorship of Zelensky backed by NATO now. It's not, they abolished elections, banned all opposition parties, banned the opposition press. They allow this UN rapporteur in. Presumably, the UN rapporteur wouldn't be let into Kyiv. Even calling it Kyiv is a way to commit a kind of genocide, cultural genocide, because famously they tried to abolish the Russian language and ban and burn Russian books. It's Kiev. And so this guy, special rapporteur and extrajudicial, what's he there? At the behest of who? There's no government in Ukraine.
Yeah, well, even so, it doesn't matter if there is or there isn't. It doesn't really make sense why he's
What is he
there
going to talk
anyway.
about? Is he going to talk about the 14,000 murdered by Britain, the United States, and European Union nations backed armory in Donetsk leading up to Russia finally deciding to save those Russian ethnic speakers in the eastern part of Ukraine? Is he going to talk about any of that? No, he's
Well,
not, is he?
it's kind of like with the UN investigation in Israel, isn't it? It's like he's gone to the country that he's investigating to do the investigation, and he can't talk to the people who have been killed. He can only presumably talk to the people who have done the killings. I don't know. Like, you're not really going to get an unbiased
We've spoken to Karim,
conclusion from this, are
the
you?
ICC guy, who now says the head of Hamas and the head of the Israeli government, both there should be arrest warrants out for.
That's yeah,
What is
that's
the
right.
point? I mean, and the response has been the burning of babies and giving them a month to answer. Or is that the South Africa case? These courts are helping genocide by muddying the waters and giving time for genocide to occur. Because they don't decide on things, they're allowing it to happen. The Israeli government is so irritated by these judgments, is saying, right, if they're going to do this, we're going to kill even more babies. We're going to burn alive even more women. We're going to take hostage even more Palestinians.
Yeah.
These courts, these UN humanitarian rapporteurs, I think while some of them do a lot of good work, a lot of people are going to be asking questions of whether the UN is now reaching its end as Britain and the United States veto genocide.
Mm. I mean, it is all very questionable. But Saturday, if we can move
Wait,
on.
Wait, just before.
Go ahead.
Friday, 1989, the death of C.L.R. James, who revolutionized in 1989 on the 31st of May. C.L.R. James, Trinidadian journalist and historian, revolutionized our understanding of the entire Caribbean area and the revolutionary elements there. I knew him when he was in London. That's why I'm particularly mentioning it. And it's the birthday of Viktor Orban, Hungarian politician, who arguably has been pretty brave in opposing European proxy nature of Europe, European politics as being vassals of the United States. And yeah, forget the GDP figures from India and Canada, although India's GDP up because of its relations with Russia, arguably.
Well, Viktor Orban, we did speak about him a few weeks ago, didn't we, on this show? But Saturday, then, more elections. They just don't seem to stop this week. It's the final phase of voting in the Indian general election. Results are expected the following week on June the 4th, so I'm sure we'll mention those, although it's expected that the BJP are going to win. That's Narendra Modi's party, which would see him as India's longest serving prime minister if he wins. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? Is not really as much.
Why does everyone just expect he's going to win in such a big country? I think more interesting is if you drill down in the data and see some of these provinces, these areas of India that are the size population wise of continents, arguably, how that relates to how well the Indian Communist Party has done, the discredited up till now, original Congress Party of Nehru, how that's done, because they're all kind of neoliberal parties. They kind of support the United States and at the same time Russia and China. They try and be non-aligned. The fact is the number of starving and poor in India is larger than the whole of sub-Saharan Africa, which is a statistic they never mention when they talk about the Indian economic miracle, is there? I mean, if India had taken the Chinese path, which China, of course, brought 800 million people out of poverty since the 80s, why is India still so poor? That's the question that hasn't been asked. I thought much more important than your election, and maybe you have another election to talk about, is the 80th anniversary of D-Day in Normandy. Mm. In 1944, June the... wait a minute, that was June the 6th. Why are they celebrating on June the 1st? They're not going to mention the Soviet Union when they talk about D-Day in Western Europe for the memorial, and they're not going to invite any Russians, as if Russia wasn't involved in defeating Nazism, as if it wasn't Russia and the Soviet Union that liberated Auschwitz death camp. I guess they wouldn't, would they? Because Britain and France and all these Western European countries and the United States are supporting those with the Nazi banner now, today. They are the Nazis. So those fighting Zelensky claim. I should say that, you know, I saw this the other day. Some say that the Nazis never even wanted to bomb London. It's only because Churchill provoked them deliberately because he wanted to try and get public support for the opposition to Nazism by bombing German cities to provoke Germany to bomb London, killing thousands of people at the time. But whatever it is, the Holocaust happened, and there are a lot of countries that liberated the death camps of the Nazis that are today supporting those Nazi emblems in Europe and supporting what the international courts called plausible genocide. Here we are in West Asia.
Okay. Well, people can look into that history, obviously. It's all very interesting. But Iceland on Saturday is going to be having its election. I'm sure everyone's really interested to hear the presidential election, although the current
helping Zelensky's Iceland.
Okay, that's okay. Thank you for the extra.
The country is Iceland. The Nazi country then as well. Neo-Nazi Iceland. Who would have thought?
Although, obviously, the current president can't run again because they don't. He's not standing. I don't think.
You mean Gunnar Johansson?
Gunnar Johansson. You mean?
Yeah.
He's not running again. But I don't know if you saw those Icelandics are right jokers because there was a campaign to get a 700,000-year-old glacier to get put on the ballot to become president as a kind of tribute to the climate crisis and climate change. Just make a president. Probably do a better job.
I would have voted for that instead of supporting Nazis. Come to think of it, Chilean president, the great left-wing Gabriel Boric, seen as a really left-wing leader of Chile. Of course, Chile famously, their government overthrown by the United States in 1973. He's for supporting Nazis and Zelensky. How is he left-wing if he supports Nazis? Gabriel Boric, supposed ally of the left in Latin America.
Well, Sunday, we've got...
It's what they have to do, isn't it? I can't believe you just said that and moved on so quickly when you know it's the wedding in Bel Air, which presumably you're going to.
Murdoch.
One of the greatest media oligarchs of all time, responsible for destroying my childhood in his attempt to destroy trade unions in Britain, responsible for supporting genocide today with his papers just without any shame backing the mass murder of children, of women, their networks, of Fox News, of the Wall Street Journal, the Times of London, all these stenographer... waste paper where people call themselves journalists working for them, but are actually nothing but servants to power, have nothing to do with journalism. The Times, whatever, the Sun newspaper in London. And the scion of that Rupert Murdoch is to marry Elena Zhukova, a retired molecular biologist, at a ceremony at his California vineyard. Fifth marriage of the 93-year-old. The children are not going to be happy. Although she's not going to get a vote when he dies and when it's all split up.
That's true. And, you know, I was actually going to mention that, so thank you for reminding me. At 93, not a bad age to get married, though, right? I mean, shows you can still live.
Where do they get married? Like, in blood? I mean, how is it? How do they even put the ring? How does Rupert Murdoch put a ring on her finger, given his hands are just soaking with blood? How does that even happen?
I don't understand.
Gets married at all.
Anyway.
But here's the anniversary. Maybe he's chosen wedding day because in 1980, on June the 1st, was when CNN, that great propaganda facilitator, began broadcasting. And it's when the Atlantic hurricane season begins. So we could see hurricanes from this week onwards. Infrastructure in the United States, very precarious because all the money's been given away to Zelensky and to buy military weapons. And it has to be said, it's the anniversary of the war with Britain, the 1812 war, when the United States declared war on Britain and fought Britain after the British attack on New Orleans. And you see all these anniversaries. I've got to mention, they're so important. General Motors filed for bankruptcy and was bailed out by the U.S. taxpayer in 2009. General Motors went. Oh, that's an alarm saying we talked for too long. General Motors, big company, GM, went bust in 2009, and like the United States was some USSR or the Soviet Union, it bailed it out with the taxpayers' money. There's no free markets. There's no free capitalism. There's nothing in the United States. You go bust and you're big, you get the money from, you get all the welfare you want. If you're poor, black, Latino, no welfare.
Okay.
That's what some would say. And Yves Saint Laurent in 2008 died, one of the great fashion designers who today would be on the line protesting about the genocide in Gaza like he did when he protested the U.S. war in Vietnam.
Okay, well, mentioning Gaza, Israel, Sunday, I just want to mention as the last thing. Have you heard about this Supreme Court hearing in Israel, apparently, if they have a Supreme Court over the conscription plan by Israel? Now, there were petitions brought against the government because Israel wanted to conscript strictly Orthodox Jews, they're called, or ultra Orthodox, or Haredi, I think they like to be called, who previously have been exempt from military service because it's against their beliefs, it's not in line with their values. And I understand a lot of them oppose Zionism, and they've effectively been forced to go to
Why
war
are they
against
never
Gaza.
interviewed in NATO propaganda media?
Have they
These
been
Jews who
interviewed
oppose
in,
Netanyahu.
have they been interviewed anywhere, though? They're not a
I
group of
do
people
see
who
them
couldn't
on,
speak.
I see them on the RT and on television channels, which are banned in NATO countries daily. But there are a lot of Israeli soldiers being killed by Hamas, which doesn't seem to have suffered at all from the onslaught from US, UK, EU armed fighters.
Yeah, but then
Hamas
it
is out
shows,
there,
though.
buried in the tunnels, ready to kill and kidnap all these soldiers. But you mentioned that conscription case at the Supreme Court. Maybe Rishi Sunak could fly out and help Netanyahu with the conscription, because in Britain there'll be no exemptions, as far as I understand it, from the national service that he wants to bring should he win the election, which he's going to lose to the
It's not
MI6 guy
conscription, though.
Keir Starmer. It is. It's compulsory national service.
In a
If Rishi
sense, but like you
wins,
say, I think they haven't thought it through because they're not going to force anyone to do it.
no,
And
they say they're forced. I heard
pretty
the
much, yeah.
genocide minister, James Cleverly, the other day. He said, "You will be forced, but you won't go to prison if you don't."
So you
Anyway,
won't be forced
I don't understand
then.
how that works. But anyway, it'll be Sir Keir Starmer, the man that
Probably.
tried to, in a way, assassinate Julian Assange, who will be the next prime minister
Who you
of.
met, you're friends with.
With Sir Keir Starmer.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think the less
Yeah.
said about the man who's. What did he say? It's okay to starve the people of Gaza and stop medicine from going to Gaza. That's Sir Keir Starmer. Worse than Sunak, the billionaire's husband, I might say. I know what you want to talk about on June the 2nd is tequila.
Okay, go on. What do you have to say
Sorry,
about
no. Give me Mexican elections then.
it? Okay. Oh, the Mexican presidential elections. Yes, there are on Sunday, and legislative elections. I think Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador is his name, the incumbent president.
AMLO, one of the great, great Obrador. Yeah, AMLO. I thought we
Yeah,
talked to him.
I think he's been pretty popular, but again, he's not running.
He can't run again, right?
That's
That's the
right.
point.
He's right. He can't run for another election. I think he's been pretty popular. I think he increased the minimum wage 80% above inflation. Not sure if that sounds like a good idea, but he did that. Still a lot of border
A
issues,
good idea if
obviously.
you're poor,
Yeah.
I think.
Well, I
Stops
guess.
people going on to the drug cartel sponsored by the United States, I would say.
True, true, but obviously there's still a lot of issues. Drug cartels, as you mentioned, homicide rates are high.
Not really, but they're American-backed elements of the hangover from
Well,
COINTELPRO,
this is
which
it.
sponsored drugs in Mexico, and the demand for illegal drugs in the United States is what drives that. And why do people want to take drugs in the United States? Because it's a country deeply at unease with itself and its empire is declining. So you can't blame Mexico for just supplying demand, can you?
Yeah, well, this is it, and I think the US is going to be paying a very close eye on who comes in as the next president.
And
I
it's a
believe that.
Jewish woman, secular Jewish woman,
Yeah,
who's
I
going to
think
win?
the former Mexico City mayor, isn't it, Claudia Sheinbaum, is the front runner, and she said if President Trump, Donald Trump, becomes president in the US, she would have a good relationship with him. So. She's expecting that. She seems to be the front runner.
Platonic, clearly. Israel getting very excited by this, but I don't think she's the right sort of Jew for the Zionists of Israel. She's certainly been very quiet about Gaza and Ukraine. Very little I can get out of her policy statements on foreign affairs. She's seen as someone who'll follow the same foreign policy ideas as AMLO. But, Mexico, huge problems because it's another IMF client state, no matter how hard it tries. The real leader of Mexico should be Subcomandante Marcos from the southeastern mountains of Chiapas, arguably. But he's disappeared. No one knows where he's gone. Maybe he will return like Emiliano Zapata, the man on the white horse whose ghost gave Mexico its independence. Have you seen that Marlon Brando film?
I haven't known.
It's a great
I really like
film. It's
Marlon Brando's
classic.
films, but I've not seen that one. Although maybe they could take a leaf out of Iceland's book and just take a mountain as their president or something,
No, well, there
like
is all
Indonesia.
that pagan mountain, mountain stuff. I think I'm sure we forgot to mention earlier in the week. People need to subscribe to Forecast News so that they see the full show and don't just get today's date. Because wasn't there a huge conference, another one in South Korea, happening this week? I only think of that because of its relationship to Mexico in a complex way I haven't fully thought out. Ball tops is what I say to you, Millie. Ball tops 24. What's that? That starts on Sunday.
I've not heard of this one. What's this?
14 NATO nations, 7,000 personnel, 45 ships, 75 warplanes. They're going to be in the Baltic Sea, ready to rehearse
They're still doing their
mass murder
drills.
of Russians, mass murder of Chinese, Venezuelans, Iranians, Burkina Faso's, Venezuelans. What else have I forgotten? Colombians, presumably, South Africans, if they continue with the genocide case. What are these NATO nations, which are so poor at home, who have such inequality, doing, having a huge, massive, multi-billion dollar rehearsal that does nothing except, hopefully, for those of us with military shares, increase the shares of General Dynamics BAE Systems? This is not investment advice. Lockheed Martin. What's Lloyd Austin head of Raytheon?
That's right. But they've been doing several of these drills over the last few months, haven't they? As we've mentioned on this show. So that's only going to continue
Ball
and get
tops
more
24
frequent.
is balls tops, though. That's why it's called that. I'm not sure what it stands for. Ball tops. Busy, allied, little. I
Maybe
can't
it's
think.
just saying that's what they are. They're ball tops, like an insult.
PLO in 1964 was founded on June the 2nd. Where is the PLO now? The PLO is nothing. The Fatah Party, the Palestinian ambassadors littering the earth. Who are these people? It is the end of Fatah. We never hear that Palestinian man bankrolled by Israel and NATO. We never hear from him, do they? Every day a massacre, every hour another massacre. We don't hear from him. He's just taking the money, growing fatter and older. Fatter. Do you see the pattern there? Growing fatter.
Very
In
good.
2012, Hosni Mubarak was sentenced to life in prison in Egypt. Everyone's slagging off Israel all the time. Why are they? Why aren't they slagging off Egypt? Egypt has a border at Rafah. Why doesn't Egypt open the border and allow food aid to go through the Rafah border and journalists to go through the Rafah border? Why is everyone slagging over Israel all the time? Are they anti-Semites?
Okay. I think we better leave it there, Afshin,
I
don't
should just
you?
say Mubarak was then acquitted and celebrated at the funeral by Sisi, the now leader there. And I should also say June the 2nd is the birthday of Cornel West, who's a US presidential candidate in November, who
Right.
has come under fire because his wife wants regime change, like Donald Trump, in Iran.
Okay. Thank you for that. We better leave it there, though, right? You ready?
Good to have you back, Millie.
Okay. Good to have you back, Afshin. Good to be back. Thank you so
See
much
you
for
next week.
watching.
Subscribe,
Subscribe.
like. What
You
else
can
is?
watch us, comment. You can watch us on YouTube. X, you can go to Spotify. All of those platforms were available. Please leave your
TikTok,
comments.
Spotify,
TikTok.
try and create a fake AI algorithm to increase the numbers. Try and design one. The other ones, Google Podcasts,
All of them. Basically, any social media platform you can find us
Tidal.
on.
I don't think
You can have a look.
iRes 96 lossless FLAC.
Okay. Well, look, thank you very much for watching And it's good to be back. And we will see you next week. Goodbye for now.
See you next week.